billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. If you heard the holiday edition of this show with my next guest, you do know that he is a huge fan of the Minnesota Vikings. I said that for the rest of the season, as long as they're playing, I'm having you on Fridays when I can, when it technically works. And indeed, I'm having him back. Michael Broadcorp is kind enough to join us. Of course, a political commentator, covers a lot of Republican politics in the state of Minnesota, and also a huge Vikings fan. He's kind enough to take some time today to talk about both. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Good. How are you? Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year to you. By the way, I should mention michaelbroadcorp.com. That's michaelbroadcorp.com. Not only will you get his website, but he's got his podcast out there. Make sure you go and listen to those. You'll get more of his take on politics there for sure. If I'll start there, I mean, your thoughts, you're watching what's going on in the Capitol. Not since the mid-1800s has there been this kind of delay at getting a speaker. As a Republican, how, you know, it's got to be a little bit concerning that there's just this one group of people that have gotten so much power there.
It is. It is frustrating because, you know, as my late father would always talk about it, there was politics, there was math in politics, and right now it's about 218. And the fact that when you're in the minority, one of the things that, you know, you try to do responsibly and respectfully is sometimes throw sand in the gears and make sure things don't function and run as well. But here's the situation where Republicans have the control of the House of Representatives, have the majority, and they're incapable of coming together to elect a Speaker of the House, which should be an easy vote. Now, you know, putting on my, you know, Republican hat very briefly and not very fully, I will say to you that, you know, I think that in the mind of a number of Republicans, this vote for Speaker is not as procedural as what some would say not as meaningless as other votes, and it's something that they're trying to put a lot of substantive thought in. Here's the problem with it, is that the lack of planning. There are a number of Republicans inside the House of Representatives that are there just simply to make sure that it doesn't work, to make sure that the institution doesn't work, that they want to fundamentally change how the House is operated in a way that I don't think they have any form of electoral mandate to do. And so in the absence of that, they're literally just holding the operation hostage. And, you know, I think right now that's the problem, is that Republicans are having a very difficult time building the necessary coalition. I think the expectation by Kevin McCarthy and a number of national Republicans was that if the Republicans were going to take control of the U.S. House of Representatives, and their margins were going to be much wider. As you and I have talked about, Matt, frequently, the election did not turn out the way Republicans expected, including me in some ways. Mm-hmm. And so the margins are much narrower for Kevin McCarthy. And when the margins are closer, the math is tighter, as my old man would have told me, that makes everyone even more relevant. You just don't have the wiggle room by which to build the necessary coalition, and they're struggling right now. I think, though, today, there was a breakthrough, and I think it's possible it gets done yet tonight.
I agree. I think it could get done tonight. But going back to one of the political analysts I talked to on Wednesday, he said the crime here is really with McCarthy. Is that this election was early November. Here it is early January. You knew you had a tight margin. You should have dealt with this beforehand. And fine. I mean, he made it very clear he did not want to work with the Democrats, which would have been an easy out. They could have made some minor concessions and gotten a fairly easy vote there. But I think that the fact that he didn't, I don't know if he just didn't realize this element was out there, or that because the narrow margins that he needed to make sure everyone was on board. But it's almost like he walked into the Capitol on Tuesday, said, well, this is a done deal, and is kind of sat there shocked that, you know, initially 20, then 21 people voted against it, which basically held this up for what's going to end up being 14, maybe 15 rounds.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I think on both sides, it's fair to say that there's a lot of thought. I think I think it's fair to say on both sides that people didn't really think this out. You know, in speaking with a conservative Republican, a former congressional candidate today, one of the points that they made to me is that they were a little surprised by is that McCarthy was willing to go out there and lose to the level at which he did. So, you know, I got to tell you something. I mean, he is, there's on the flip side of this, you know, while it shows in some sense, I think it's fair to say that this shows a lack of preparation and organization on the side of McCarthy. On the other side, it's also to say there's something to be said about someone who's willing to go through it and still come out ahead. And so clearly there is a coalition inside the United States House of Representatives that did not want Kevin McCarthy to be elected Speaker of the House of Representatives. He still might not be, but based on the current trend line, it seems that it's possible yet tonight, if not potentially tomorrow, that it happens. And if it does, I don't know in the grand scheme of things, 21 months from now, if how Kevin McCarthy became Speaker will be as relevant to the voters. What the problem comes for Kevin McCarthy, just like a dog who actually catches the car, is now he's got to lead, and now he's got to produce. And one of the long-term concerns, I think that might come, or the process concerns that comes out of this, Matt, is it was the Speaker vote so brutal? Getting him to be elected Speaker, did he give up so much power, and did he negotiate a deal that makes him incapable of actually leading the leading the United States House of Representatives? That remains to be seen.
All right, enough with politics for the time being. We got more important things to talk about. And they'll figure this out. By the time we get to this weekend, by Monday, we'll probably have an answer of some capacity on how this is going. Your thoughts after last week's debacle? It sure doesn't help us that much. The pick six and the kickoff return, you know, they kind of put us in a hole pretty darn fast. And granted, I was like looking, it's like, how are they scoring this many points? Well, if you're giving the ball to the other side and they're getting points that way, you know, you give Aaron Rodgers, will pick you apart eventually. That was a pretty rough game.
And let me tell you how rough it was for me on a personal level, Matt.
Okay.
My wife is a fan of the Green Bay Packers.
Oh, no.
And so I had to sit and watch that. Oh, yes. Oh, no, it's right. I got to watch that game in my house with my wife, and she's watching that game. It was difficult to watch. And the problem for me, particularly when it comes to football, is my wife's approach to the game is very much so that she's just an incredibly good sport about it. She's a diehard Packers fan. She always wants the Packers to win when they play the Vikings. But on all the rest of the games, she cheers for the Vikings. And the other thing that's frustrating is that when I'm watching the game and it's a blowout like that, she's such a good sport about stuff that she'll go out there and say, you know, this isn't fun to watch. I wish it was closer. She wants both sides to win. So on a deeply personal level, that game was very difficult to watch.
This upcoming week, we're at Chicago. They're already. I don't even think half the team is going to show up for the game. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Bears are. You can't take any team lightly, but this is a team that basically every game they're playing right now is. You can tell they're looking at tee times, not what's going on the field. Do you think the Vikings are going to have trouble in Chicago?
Well, here's the thing. Interesting approach by Kevin O'Connell, which is he's going to play some starters, and that's going to have some debate. Right now, the Vikings are sitting at. Right now, the Vikings have clinched a playoff division, clinched a playoff berth. They've won the division. Right now, there's a couple of scenarios. The Vikings, you know, were sitting kind of at that number two spot, but because of where they ended up with the Packers, right now it seems more likely that they're going to end up in that number three spot. But if they win on Sunday against the Bears, that could increase their standing and their placement in the playoffs. I'm an advocate of the Vikings. Here's how I don't want to play in the playoffs. I don't want to play the Green Bay Packers. And I'm sorry, I don't want to play the Green Bay Packers again. And so it wouldn't bother me if the Vikings slipped to number three, that they didn't win. I'm going to be rooting for the Packers, unfortunately, privately, to be losing on Sunday against the Lions. That would be helpful. There's a number of scenarios. Right now, we're looking at the possibility, depending on how the Vikings play out, we could be playing the Giants, we could be playing the Packers, we could be playing the Seahawks. And we could be potentially be playing the Detroit Lions. And there's two teams that I'm concerned about, us meeting in the playoffs of all those. I would like us to face the Giants. We've already beaten them once this year. I'd like to see us do it again. But the Lions have played tough. And so if the Vikings win at the Bears, the 49ers lose to the Cardinals, if the Rams win versus the Seahawks, and the Lions win versus the Packers, we're playing the Detroit Lions. If I could have my pick, we'd be playing the Giants, and then maybe the Lions, and then the Seahawks, and then the Packers. The team I don't want to be run into the playoffs is the Packers at home, because that loss last weekend, and it's something that we talked about the first time I was on to talk about the Vikings, is that this is a team that has a real Jekyll and Hyde persona. They're 12-4. That's fantastic that they are. But the four that they've lost, they have really, really lost in a bad way.
Yeah.
And my concern is, while it was fun to be at, U.S. Bank Stadium with my daughter when they were going back against the Colts, the problem was is that first half wasn't good. It was really bad. In order to have an NFL record comeback, you have to be down in an NFL way.
Yeah.
And I just hope that, and that's the problem here. I'd like to see the Vikings have some stability, have some consistency, particularly in this last week going into the playoffs.
Can the Commanders make it? Can Washington still make it in there or no?
I don't believe that they can. I do not believe that they're mathematically available. I don't think that mathematically they can get in.
The Giants the Giants for sure are in. And then it comes down to two spots for three teams. And once again, one of the things is Detroit could do us a favor by beating the Packers. Actually, I'm on the opposite side. I would rather play the Packers than play the Detroit Lions, because the Detroit Lions have been sneaky good when they are. I mean, when you look at the Vikings, it's sure, it's part of the game, kickoff returns, interceptions, stuff like that. But the Detroit Lions basically punched us in the grill. And we barely got away from them at home, and we lost to them in Detroit badly. I that's the team there. I would probably say Seahawks, Giants, Packers than the Lions. But yeah, there's not a lot of good there. Are you of the mindset some people are that this team will either be out in the first round or they'll win the whole damn thing?
Yeah, I think I'm of that too, and I think that's a fair analysis coming in. I think it's fair because that's what's happened here. I think that's the way they've played this year. They have been, 12 times they've shown up and they have won amazing games. Of the 12 times that they've won, they were in real pickles. And there's a real possibility of this team being 8-8. I mean, we could be talking about an 8-8 team right now, but we're talking about a 12-4 team, and a potential, and in all honesty, coming into the playoffs, not with a lot of strength. Because again, if they win and the Packers win, we're likely playing the Packers at home. And again, just to go back to that, Matt, I will just tell you, my wife is a Packers fan. My in-laws are all Packers fans. I don't want to. I'd like to just not have to deal with that again this year. But if we have to, we have to. But I just want to keep that off the table. It's just tough sometimes, particularly when they lose, because. The Packers have, done a lot of things that have been successful as an organization. And it frustrates me immensely. But I am worried. If I were to say, you and I were right on that. It was both Detroit and Green Bay where we have some concern. And I think that there's reason we think that way. Because a lot of times when we're talking about coming into the playoffs, we're saying we have a lot of options here. We can defeat a lot of these teams. But we lost to Detroit. We lost to Detroit in not a pretty way. We lost to Green Bay in a very difficult way. We've had some trouble with Seattle in the past. And so the Giants seem to be, where I think we would match up well, but we'll see. We're coming in not in a real strong position.
I think that it's interesting of all the teams there, I think all those teams that are road teams, they want to play at Minnesota. The feeling is that even with Tampa, that they don't want to go to Tampa and take on Brady down there. That Minnesota is the team that they want to get. But generally, if you always think about it that way, that it never works out that way. Take a look at the LA Rams last year. That was a team that wasn't supposed to go anywhere, and they win the whole thing. I mean, it's just, and, you know, that's kind of transferred over. It just is one of those things where it's hard to predict what's going to happen there. Just really quick then to finish this out for us, what is your call? What's the score going to be on Vikings at Chicago?
Oh, I'm tough on that. I think, you know, Vikings, oh, that's tough. Let's do 28-13. You know, let's do 28-13,
really?
Vikings. Yeah, 28-13. How about you?
I think, considering how this team has played this year, I think it will be last 2 minutes, we'll get a score.
Oh,
it'll probably be
24-21
Vikings win, just because that's the way they've done it. And they will set a record for most wins within, within 3 points. In a season that will never fall, again, because no one will ever get close to that record again.
Matt, why can't we have nice things?
I don't know. I'm
waiting. Can't we even just plan for nice things?
Did you see the Kaprizov goal, the almost goal that he had that went through his legs? Holy cow,
yes.
That's a good thing. I would love to see the Vikes go. But I'm already kind of getting into wild mode, which will then turn into Gopher baseball and the Twins and Minnesota United. And it's just the way we do things here. Michael, once again, I want to drive everyone. Go to michaelbroadcorp.com. He'll get his news analysis, as well as also his podcasts are listed there. And, of course, the book, The Girls Are Gone. Go get that. That is fantastic. Michael, I will talk to you next week for sure.
I hope to be here next week talking about the Vikings victory. Skol Vikings.
Indeed, Michael Broadcorp joining us. We'll take a break. Come on back, wrap up the show for the week. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.